statewide outreach programs, humanitarian programs providing hot meals for hundreds of underprivileged people, counseling for community members with emotional and psychological difficulties, as well as support for hospital patients and prison inmates. The work which we do is greatly appreciated by the community and has been a blessing for hundreds of people. We have been fortunate over the last several years to rely upon the funds donated to our organization from the quilt wrap industry. Such funds provide one of the cornerstones on which we depend to finance our community services. It is our fear that the passage of SB 273 while designed to increase revenues for nonprofit organizations, will in reality hurt us. If the quilt wrap industry withers from lack of profit, nonprofit organizations such as Showray R will lose a valuable source of funding. This loss will in turn force us to dramatically cut the benefits which we now provide to Alaska. It is difficult for those of us with resources to understand the incredible power that a helping hand can lend during trying times. It would be devastating to the community to have such a helping hand tied back to Alaska funds. I beseech the members of the community to consider of the committee to consider the financial impact that the passage of SB 273 will have on the nonprofit organizations which depend upon their current revenues. I thank you for your consideration and urge you to vote down SB 273. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Doug Askerman, and then Perry Green.
Good afternoon. My name is Doug Askerman. I'm the executive officer for the Anchorage Home Builders Association, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you on this bill. Our association is a small association. However, the results from the funds that we get through the gaming process are felt throughout our community. We utilize these funds for scholarship, for education, public services, for housing for humanity, Christmas in May for repair remodeling of homes that are owned by individuals who can't afford it. We're concerned that this particular bill may not be the answer that the state is looking for, and we feel that there should be a greater consideration given. Our concern is really based on as what was said earlier, if it isn't broke, don't fix it. We are, as an association, quite happy with the results that we've gotten from our contract, and we'd like to keep it the way it is. If there are any questions, I'd be glad to answer them for you.
Thank you. I don't see any questions, so we'll go to Perry Green.
Chairman Hanley, members of the House Committee, I'm Perry Green, second generation Alaskan. To me, it's obvious that this bill is not revenue neutral. That's why you have all these people testifying. They're worried about their charities, and I can whether you think that it's orchestrated or not, these people have a genuine concern, and that's the matter here today. You know, it's obvious to me also that no one in revenue really has any idea about gaming and what makes gaming revenue. You know, they say you can lower the winners, you can do all these things, but not once when we give suggestions to the department have they ever considered one of our suggestions to improve gaming in the state. They have not done anything to improve. You want the 7%? Yes, but you must let us change the game. But the way it is now, it cannot be. You cannot do the 7%. There are many charities that are going to be impacted by this very poorly thought out piece of legislation. And I'm telling you, the impact will be catastrophic. Any questions?
I don't see any, and Mr. Perry, certainly whenever we have a piece of legislation, there are often people that express concern. What our job is to try and sift through the information we have before us to see if the current concern is legitimate, and we don't intend to take action on this bill today. We will need some time to sift through the expressed concerns and some of the spreadsheet information that we have here.
Thank you, Chairman.
We'll go now to Fairbanks, Dick Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Dick Bishop. I live at 1555 Gus's Ranch outside Fairbanks. I'm speaking on behalf of the Alaska Outdoor Council. And the reason I am is that the Alaska Outdoor Council is a public interest nonprofit organization that does hold a gaming permit and undermining the effectiveness of those organizations as well as legitimate business people who are trying to make a reasonable living by providing the opportunity for charities to have full tabs sold on their behalf. I can't give you much, can't give you any technical information on the bill, but I certainly would urge you to exercise great caution in avoiding penalties, planned or otherwise, to the charities, the public interest groups, and to the private business people who handle these full tabs. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Davies.
Hey Dick, John Davies here. Good to hear from you. I wondered if you could tell me what percentage of the AOC's sustenance comes from these permits.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Davies, right offhand I can't, but I can tell you, because I didn't come prepared with really any concrete information, but I can tell you just from memory that it's extremely variable, depending on a number of things that people have already talked about. Trends in public sales of full tabs that I don't know what affects them. Competition between charities or nonprofits for the opportunity to have full tabs sold on their behalf, and factors like that. We've gone from basically zero to several thousand dollars, depending on the year.
Thanks, Dick.
Thank you. Now we'll go back to Matt Sue, Minnie Fisher.
My name is Minnie Fisher, and I'm a lifetime member of the Matsu Valley Humane Society. And I want to thank you for this opportunity to tell you my story. We are representing all these animals that we have to take care of and getting our organization back into operation like it was before the Miller Fire. I am absolutely opposed to Senate Bill 273 and to the 7% of grocery return on full tab gain. This percentage is way out of line for the market that our full tab stores are competing in for business. This bill is being designed by the Department of the Revenue to reduce the number of gaming establishments around the state. This is what will make their jobs easier, with less gaming to oversee and audit. I feel the Department of Revenue is anti-gaming, and the gaming unit should be removed to the Department of Commerce, where it can be fed, tended to, and not be destroyed. This business provides our organization with critical funding that the state is unable to provide through grants. Senate Bill 273 will destroy our funding source with percentages that are too high and the concepts are too unworkable. I oppose this bill. We could not even get vaccinations for our animals through the state whenever we were burned out because there was no place we could get it. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
We have Robert Montgomery here, too.
In Matsu?
Right.
Okay, why don't we go ahead and then we'll finish up with that site.
Okay, thank you.
My name is Robert Montgomery. I'm with the Matsu Valley Humane Society. I am against Senate Bill 273 because it will result in our losing needed charitable gaming revenue. The percentages proposed for full tabs are much too high for our gaming business. Our full-tab stores are in the Anchorage area where the competition is very tough and the sales are up and down all the time. I feel this bill is designed to force a number of full-tab stores out of business. Every dollar that we make is important to us and the programs that we bring to our local community. Loss of these funds would cripple our ability to maintain the programs that we conduct. Please vote no on Bill 273. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have an additional person in Ninilchik?
Yes, my name is Laura Bias, B-I-A-S. I'm the executive director of the Ninilchik Senior Center. I've only been here for 6 weeks, but I'd like to take this opportunity to let you know this organization is run 98% by volunteers, and the volunteers
we don't have a van. We don't have a paid driver for the van to deliver our whole meal. A man who is over 80 with his own vehicle delivers our meals out to the homebound daily. He does this as a volunteer. He's not compensated in any way for his gasoline, his car insurance, his time, nothing. And the people that he delivers the meals to have very little contact with the public in any way. Our driver is like the sole person that they see in the course of their week. One of our individuals has to have his meals for the whole weekend. He's blind, and this is his only meal. We are the only thing that man has. And without the gaming funds, we can't continue to do this. The gentleman who's been picking up our donated bread from the Safeway organization every week is almost 90. And he's been making this weekly bread run in his vehicle for years. And since I'm so new, I'm appalled at the lack of funding from all sources. Without these gaming funds, no matter how much effort it is for the state of Alaska, Gaming Commission, or anybody else to do the paperwork involved, I don't like paperwork either. My desk is covered with it right now. But no matter how much paperwork it takes, it has to be done because we need this income for this facility. We have about 90 members in this facility, and I would say every one of them who is physically able to volunteer in some way. In the 6 weeks I've been employed here, every one of them has volunteered continuously, daily. It takes all of us to pull this off on a daily basis, and we need that money. Absolutely. And the home delivery person has encountered people that have fallen, people that are in ill health, people who need assistance. We do a lot of things that are crucial to the well-being of our senior citizens out of this center that nobody covers the funding on. They are not listed in our grants. They're not coverable by any other source. And without all of us here, many folks would be without a lot of services. We recently had one of our members have a problem in her home with carbon monoxide poisoning. It's not our job, per se, to take care of this problem, but somebody has to. And she lives too far and out of the service area. So we've had to take care of that. We do a lot of things for a lot of people, and this money is absolutely critical to everyone's well-being in the community of Nanuktitik. The only final note I want to add is we're an employer here in Nanuktitik, and you might say, well, gee, it's only four people and four jobs. Those four jobs count. In our community, the largest employer that I know of for year-round employment employs seven people. So four people is critical to employment issue. Thank you for your time, and thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Okay, thank you. We'll come back to Juno, and let's see, is Angelina Lundy?
I'm an employer for A and B, Camp Number 2, Bingo, and the coffee shop, and I'm totally against this bill. I know that if you took the money away, that villages between Barrow and Heidelberg would be damaged very much. The bingo and pull tab money that they get is one of the biggest resources of money that they can get. These villages have almost no jobs available, and so getting these charities from the organizations, it helps them out with their health, traveling, their children's education, and also the parents' education so they can get on their own feet. So I'm totally against this bill. And raising the taxes on this would just hurt the whole state of Alaska. And I just don't understand where this bill came from. Why did it start?
Okay. Are there any questions? Thank you, and thank you for being patient. Next, if we could have Norman Vonda. Mr. Vonda still here? If not, then is there William Gruning? I'm sorry, this one name, Mebslu? Is the last name Slu? No, not everybody was able to stay. Roger McCoy.
My name is Roger McCoy, and I just recently completed a 5-year contract with seven nonprofit organizations here locally in the management of 4 pull tab store outlets. I'm going to try to expedite what I have to say because a lot of what I was going to say has been said. So, I would like to address the intent and language in Senate Bill 273 pertaining only to pull tabs. The primary intent of Senate Bill 273 is to increase what a nonprofit organization currently receives in revenue and assures the permittees receives this minimum amount in a specific time period from the sale of pull tabs, whether they be sold through MVPs, operators, vendors, or through the nonprofit organizations themselves. The charitable share percentages are set based on the new term and definition of gross receipts when reference to operators, MVPs, and self-direct sales by permittees. This percentage rate is set at 7% of the gross receipts. In answer to Representative Grossendorf's question earlier about sales tax, this bill does take an allowance of removing a local sales tax from the gross sales equals gross sales. So currently it does not do that, but the new bill does do that. It does take an allowance for local sales, but it's not enough, and I'll get into that. In the case of vendors, the percent is based on the new term and definition of ideal gross sales and set at 16%. Current law takes into account the allowable expenses for operation of each and every sales outlet, regardless of where the sales outlet is in the state, for operators, MVPs, and self-direct sales by permittees. A minimum of 30% of the adjusted gross was set for the nonprofit organization. In the case of vendors, a minimum of 70% was set for the nonprofit organization and a maximum of 30% for the vendor. This bill no longer takes into account the expense cost of operation by operators, MVPs, or self-direct sales by permittees, but does base the permittee's profit percentage, also called charitable share, on gross receipts or ideal gross, regardless of the location or sales within the state. There is also language inserted that states the Department of Revenue will, not may, will revoke the permit of a vendor, operator, MVP, and the nonprofit organization themselves if the specific charitable share due to the permittee is not paid within a specific time period. The Department of Revenue determined the charitable share of 7% due to permittees by averaging operational expenses and payout prize winning expense from pull tab outlets statewide. This averaging was done by using expenses reported over 2 years ago. The expense costs to operate have increased since then. Since the operational expenses differ from sales outlet to sales outlet, community to community, none are the same. How can one statewide average payout percentage be used to determine the statewide percentage to nonprofit organizations? How can one statewide average operations expense be used in communities that the operating expense is higher than others? Because of the method used in this bill to establish the permittee charitable share, vendors will no longer sell pull tabs for nonprofit organizations. Operators, MVPs, and self-direct sales by permittees will not be able to meet or provide the 7% of gross sales to the nonprofit organizations, which will result in the Department of Revenue to revoke the permits of operators, MVPs, and the nonprofit organizations themselves. I applied the proposed language in this bill to monthly pull tab store operations in the 4 stores that I managed over the last couple of years. These were stores in which I was personally involved with. Only one store during that period was able to meet the minimum charitable share of 7%. of the gross sales, and that was for only 2 months. You should have received an exhibit that I had passed out earlier. And on the top of that exhibit, it says sales examples by vendors. Now, without getting really into that, it's pretty well self-explanatory. Currently, if they take a game called Crisscross, which is the one at the top, the permittee, after he pays all of the expenses, will receive $104.35 profit. The vendor will receive $113.70. Under the current law, under the proposed law, Senate Bill 273, the net profit for the vendor will be $23.96. I assure you that no vendor will sell that game for that permittee again. He can't. He's going to lose money. One bad check, a loss of 25 pool tabs, and he's out. He's out the money. And then there's another game on the bottom of the page. It's a different percentage. The top one is an 83% payout. That's 17%. So, to summarize, talk long enough. This is a bill with good intentions, but using an unfair and improper method to determine charitable share of 7% for permittees through operators, MBPs, and self-direct permittee operations, and 16% charitable share of ideal gross sales through vendors. It's unfair the way it was done. This bill will destroy pull tab sales, not only for operators and MBPs, but also for the nonprofit organizations. This bill will work after approximately 90% of the pull tab sales outlets close their doors. The remaining 10% of outlets should be able to make it, since all the competition will no longer be in business. Maybe that is the intent of this bill. I don't know that. What does this do to the nonprofit organizations statewide who rely on pull tab revenue and no longer will be receiving it? What does this do to all of the employees of operators, MBPs, and self-direct permittee outlets statewide who no longer have employment? What does this do to the gaming distributors statewide who have thousands and thousands of dollars invested in GameStop and can no longer sell it? Major impact, Senate Bill 273. Recommendations. I don't normally give recommendations, but I suggest one thing. Everything that I have said here is supported by documented evidence in the filing cabinets of the Department of Revenue. It's there. Why isn't it out here? I don't know. I mean, I don't have access to it, but I know it's there. It's off of quarterly reports and it's off of annual reports by the nonprofit organizations themselves. And all you have to do is apply Senate Bill 273 language to what you already have, and you're going to find, anyone will find, it's not going to work. I'm done.
Thank you. Were there any questions?
No, I believe them.
Okay, next, Constance Munro. And then I believe we have three additional people in Anchorage. We'll get back to them in just a minute.
My name is Connie Monroe, and thank you very much for letting me sit over there where I can hear better. I'm lippery. I'm a retired bureaucrat, worked for the Department of Education as of June 30th of last year. So I know most of the dilemma that the representatives here in the committee, the Senate committee, has regarding accountability, compliance, and audits. I recall when community schools' budget went from $4.3 million to $500,000 and absolutely no admin money. And being the state a manager for that program was challenged to devise some way to be accountable and some way to audit without going on site and without spending any very much of my time. And I know revenue can do it. I just know you can. You can have single site audits. You can have accountability through a cycle of every 3 years. And when people sign their names to the information that you folks want, it's accountable. You have to believe them. I mean, that's something that will hold up in court. But that's not really why I'm here. I really want to say that now that I'm retired, I'm a full-time volunteer. And my 30 years experience in Juneau has been interesting in that As things develop for organizations, and I know sometimes you feel that we have a club for everything, the support for facility space and for money becomes more and more stressed because you have so many needs in a community. For instance, the annual GED graduation is supported by the AMB out of this fund. We are not charged for the building use, whereby if we had to pay for any building size to hold 500 people, it would be at least $475. And the GED program, adult ed program, was reduced by a third last year in Southeast, and they certainly do not have the money. We have done on a regular basis the Rural CAP meetings at the AMB Hall. KidSmart is sponsored by this group. The Juneau Native Commission, the Arts and Humanities Council's programs, the Celebration of Alaska Natives, which is coming up in June, will use the building free of charge. And on Saturday, I invite all of you to a pancake breakfast. And as you well know, you not only funded the AMB Hall years ago, because I helped work on that, but the St. Nicholas Church is the oldest standing church in Southeast Alaska and a historical site designated by the federal government. And you came up with the match that we needed when we could only raise $8,000. The legislature here, right here in Juneau, came up with $20,000 17 years ago for that match. And the big issue is that we have to maintain it and take care of it. And this committee goes to the AMB every year and says, we're desperate. We hold 3 to 4 functions there a year, and that's where we get our maintenance money to pay for the wood, the lumber, the paint. We had a furnace breakdown this year, and we now have a volunteer for the icons, and we're buying canvas and paying for a carpenter. Please do not change the Senate Bill number 273 at this point. It just is not right. It will hurt. If we lose any of that support for all of these groups, we don't know where to turn as money downsizes in our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, in Anchorage, I believe we have two additional people, Dan LaBrosse and Alan Yanish, or Lynn Yanish. Mr. LaBrosse?
Yeah, this is Dan LaBrosse. I'm from Fairbanks. I'm the director for Deaf Community Services located at 475 Hall Street, Fairbanks. And I've worked with Ruth Shannon from NLIL for the last 9 years as our operator for school tap. And I also have done a lot of fundraising. Actually, myself has been involved in the Lions Club. And currently, our agency relies extensively on our school tap permit with our operator. Over 50% of our fundraising comes from that. It's the single biggest fundraising activity we have at this time. The thing that concerns me about Bill, Senate Bill 273, is that the formula is being based on the growth, which directly impacts the marketability of the gaming activity. And what I mean there is that factors such as the percentage of payback pool tab games are what attract people to play the pool tab. And if you have a high percentage payback game, say 83, 85% game, people know that, and they're drawn to play those games. And when you charge percentage off of that growth, you're actually penalizing the operator for using a high percentage payback game. Also, when you also have in this bill a 10% payback for any activities that go on that aren't bingo related, say if you had a raffle, and I know from the raffles that I've won, to make an equitable raffle, you have to have some decent prizes, and usually that involves buying a vehicle or buying a vacation package or something. That comes out of the gross prestige revenues of the raffle fund. And when you take a percentage off those growths, you're actually taking the money away from the nonprofit that's trying to earn money from that. And it can actually backfire to where a raffle with 10% requirement off it will end up costing somebody money versus earning money. So I'm against the formula of basing it off the growth. I think you impact the marketability of the activity when you do that. The gaming activities that are the most marketable are the ones that have a high payback. And By using the percentage off the adjusted growth as you're doing right now, the more marketable games get used more and actually bring in more money, and we get substantial payback from that. Also, just in addressing the percentage level, because I looked at our annual report, we just got it, and if we were to follow a formula based on the growth, we got approximately 5% of the growth revenues this year, which is law trust. I do agree with a lot of the comments I've heard today that 7% is going to put a lot of people out of business. It doesn't take into account the economic diversity around the state. And when I look at our records, we have historically gotten about 5%, and that's a fairly substantial amount for us. That's all I have to say. Thank you for hearing my testimony.
Thank you, Dan. Just a quick question. If there were no 83% payout or 85% payout games, do you think people would still play pull tabs if the best game paid out 80%? Would people still play?
I imagine they would still play, but I don't think you would have the same volume. I think it would affect your gross sales. I think your volume of sales would go down. I just know from the people that I've heard that play pull tabs a lot that the word gets out when somebody's won some money and they found a particular game that they've been successful at, the word gets out, and more people are attracted to play that game. And I'm also told by my operator that some of the more seasoned players of pool tabs will come in and ask what the percentage payback is because they're aware that 8% and above, they have a much better chance of winning. I kind of also like the idea because, when you look at revenues off of gaming activity, you look at a lot of states that have lotteries, and the big criticism there is that you're taking money away from the poor people with a lottery, and you're giving a very, very low percentage payback in a lottery. I like the idea that people are getting something for their money. They're getting entertainment. They're having a better chance for winning, and you're actually providing, an entertainment factor there, which I think has a value. So I wouldn't encourage lowering the payback. I think, people are paying for entertainment. The more they win, the more the word gets out that they want money, more people get interested in it, and it's a successful venture. You lower the payback amount, sure, you're going to still have people come in, but I think you're going to cut down on your gross sales. And that's, depending on what part of the state you're at, that's really going to have an impact.
Okay, thank you. And next, is it Alan Yanish?
Yes, it is. My name is Alan Yanish. I'm sales manager for King Dogger Supply up here in Fairbanks, Alaska. I take this opportunity to thank committee chairman and committee members today. Section 20, had enough testimony. I'm mostly here. I came to listen, and I decided to testify. It's mainly on Section 28, where you're taking the 16% of the ideal gross versus the 17% of the ideal net. As a distributor here in Fairbanks, I ran the averages yesterday, and I didn't come prepared today with those numbers. But out of the games that we sell, I took those averages out, and with what we have right now, if you took the 16% net, there would be a $24 loss to the charity. Now, there's some that will be less and some that are higher. That range anywhere from $180 of a loss on this proposed bill compared to what they're getting now. If you look at the marketability, like the previous speakers have mentioned, I don't think that the players are going to, if you're looking at the win ratios, there's also factors of ticket counts in the game. There's so many factors in here of where the vendors can make some money on it. They don't want to do this for free. They got to, pay their overhead. And if there's any loss, they don't want to get paid, take it in short. Then they're going to start playing the higher profit games. And if that happens, then that's going to take money out of the nonprofit groups. They're not going to get as much as they have been in the past. And that's what I have to say.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else out on the teleconference sites that has not had an opportunity to testify? Is there anyone here in Juneau. Okay, seeing none, we will hold the Senate bill in committee while we work on it with the prime sponsor and sort through some of the information that we have been given today. It will be noticed again for another hearing sometime in the future. With that, I would like to just spend a few minutes on House Bill 12. And my apologies for people that came for House Bill 12. We just didn't have time to get to it today. In the committee members' packets, there is a proposed finance CS for House Bill 12, which basically removes the language, substitutes in language that was passed by the legislature a couple of years back dealing with civil liability for commercial recreational activities. So it's much broader in scope. Representative Davis, did you have any comment to make?
No, Mr. Chairman, I really don't. I think, people are familiar with the CS. It's been discussed in the past in several forums. I just would like to say, since this, you know, is a major change from the original equine bill, that still anybody under this bill that may get injured on the job will not need to be shot if they break their leg.
Okay. Representative Davies.
I'm not among those who's familiar with the proposed CS. I mean, I got a copy of it yesterday, but I haven't in the past been on a committee that reviewed it, that I can recall. So I have spent some time looking at it. I do have one concern, which I now prepared an amendment that addresses it. I'm not, if you would like to just put it on the record, so if we can think about it, I'd be happy to do that.
Yes, staff indicated that you had an amendment. We don't intend to take action today, but if you want to just state the concern, the bill that is before you, or the language, did pass the House of Representatives. At that time, Representative Davies, you were a no vote. So you have seen it before, but it's been a while.
Yeah, I guess maybe that's it. My concern is in the on page 2 in the section on contributory negligence that is between lines 2 and 8. This is just based on my quick reading of it last night, but my concern is that nothing in this paragraph would limit your ability to recover your basic medical insurance or accident or disability insurance.
Could you state that again? I'm sorry.
Well, my concern is, it says here, a person who accepts the inherent risk of a commercial recreational activity is contributorily negligent to the extent that the inherent risk causes injury, death. So I'm wondering, in the case that, for example, let's take the screen case where it causes death, and it says here that you're contributorily negligent because you accept it, and let's assume that it was just, you know, the horse bucked you off, or the ski slope was, you couldn't handle it, but it was a normal groomed slope or something. So it was, everybody would agree, the inherent risk, it was an accident under, in that terms. Does that limit your ability to collect on death and disability insurance, or if you just injured yourself, on medical insurance, the fact that you are contributorily negligent to that activity?
Representative Davis?
Mr. Chairman, I couldn't answer that specifically, but I would think that it would be, whatever your policy, whatever that provision is included for in your policies, that are part of the exclusions or not part of the exclusions. I wouldn't be able to answer specifically. I would need to be some, insurance person.
Mr. Chair, I'd be really concerned if there were any contribution to a reduction in my, if I were riding a bicycle, and I fell off of it, a rented bicycle, and I broke my elbow, I wouldn't want to have to be arguing with anybody about, how much percentage of the fault was my own. The way it exists now, the insurance company, reflects that accidents occur and pays. So I'm a little concerned about this particular paragraph. I did prepare an amendment, which is being distributed, and I just, it may not be necessary. It may be that we'll get testimony that will say it's not there, but I just want to put it on the record so we can look at it.
Okay, Chairman.
Representative Davis.
Yeah, I might also comment that this, of course, leaves it up to, evidence brought forward to a court or a jury is specifically, this relates to a court action.
I understand that. I just don't want to get in a situation where an insurance company is going to say, well, we're only going to pay you 75% because you were 30% responsible.
Representative Davis, we'll...
I didn't have a chance to get law. I asked law to respond. They haven't had a chance to look at this, but I'll try to get some response before we come back to it.
Representative Grusendorf?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know to the sponsor. You had a bill dealing with basically horses and riding, and now you've created a Trojan horse. Why did this happen? What is happening here? I mean, I could kind of go along with you when you're confining it to an activity, but you're throwing it wide open again for all sorts of other things that we may not even be thinking about this at this time, rentals of sports equipment, as you indicated, rentals of four-wheelers, three-wheelers.
Mr. Chairman, yeah, that's a good question, and I had been asked at all stages of my initial legislation if I would look at this, and as I wanted, was looking at specifically at my particular piece of legislation. I saw other opportunities and other legislation. I saw other opportunities for riding on the mind. I was thinking this skateboarding, and so we said, well, let's just make it inclusive and catch them all at once. Okay. I think a very logical decision.
Massive tort reform bill.
Sure. Representative Davies.
Considering the fate of some of the other bills, you know, you're concerned about letting them ride on you may mean that you won't skate free.
I certainly understand that.
Okay. With that, we'll wrap up for today. Thank you for sticking around for the public testimony on Senate Bill 273. I'll get with the prime sponsor there and let you know as soon as we know when it'll be back before us. Thank you. And tomorrow's schedule I had somewhere.
Gary, I'll fix you. I have an amendment so you can rent four-wheelers or snowmobilers for subsistence activities.